Hey there, guys and ghouls.
Oh, I'm swallowing wine.
What's new? That's what's going. That's it.
You're tuned in to Broadcast from the Belfry, a festive podcast for the morbidly curious.
My name's Sanjay, and next to me sounding like the ghost of Christmas Tacky is Georgia.
I watched Muppet's Christmas Carol this weekend.
I've only watched that like once.
Correction, I put it on and then I fell right the fuck asleep. Well,
this wine smells like butts.
Drink up.
I don't want to now. Oh my god. Let me hold my... Oh, we're drinking wine again.
What's so, new?
Yeah, now you know. It's gonna be a good podcast. As I just said, I've screamed at the moon, she has screamed at me. It's nighttime. I took a nap on accident. Definitely fucked up my evening, let me tell you. I had a lot of stuff to do and I did none of it. But here I am, energized. It's great.
Luna can't jingle, so I'm doing it for her. Actually, if we put her Christmas collar on, she can jingle.
She's so calm right now, though. She's in sleepy mode.
My cat has successfully pulled out, I would say, one third of her fur.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird, because she's also, like, the happiest I've ever seen her.
It's great.
Yeah.
She has really dry skin, and I have been trying literally everything to combat it. So, that's why she was wearing a onesie, if any of you saw the picture that Hope posted of her wearing a onesie, which is real adorable, let me just say. Also, I don't know if you noticed, but she has lost weight. I don't necessarily like the fact that she maybe lost weight because she's been so itchy that she doesn't want to eat, but she did need to lose a little bit of weight, so
yeah.
It's okay. We're looking at the positives in this.
She also knows we're talking about her. Like, she's directly looking back between Georgia and I as we're, like, saying stuff. And now she's just leering at Georgia. It's like, you talking about my chunk again?
Yeah. Your chubby bear belly. Mm-hmm. I also lost weight. I don't know how. I lost, like, 12 pounds.
That's a lot of weight to lose.
Without trying or really knowing how to. Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Did you pull a Andy from Parks and Rec and you just stopped drinking beer?
I have been drinking a lot less than I used to, but I would say not enough to just lose 12 pounds without trying.
I had, like, the opposite thing happened to me. I stopped drinking and I gained, like, 15 pounds.
Were you, like, comfort eating instead?
I don't know. Like, I literally have no idea.
You know, like, people think that smoking makes you skinny because then you, like, eat candy or something all the time when you quit.
Yeah.
It's, like, the opposite.
Maybe. I don't know. Because I, like, noticed I was getting chunky, like, at the time that I stopped drinking, like, a couple weeks after. I was like, this sucks. And then I started drinking more and here I am back to my normal size.
Here we go. Yeah. I think some of it has to do with the fact that I stopped, like, going to drive-thrus on my lunch break so much. I've been taking my lunches to work a lot more.
That's probably it.
Because I've actually been cooking a little bit more than I do when I don't feel like doing anything. And I keep, like, I have a bag of apples at my desk for, like, when I go in the morning and I'm like, I'm hungry already. Mm-hmm. And I have a bag of English muffins in my desk.
English muffins are terrible.
So I can go to the toaster and just toast me a muffin.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, I mean, there's a toaster in the break room. I'm not a savage.
I don't, the first few
There's also not room for an entire loaf. I'd rather have toast, but there's not room for an entire loaf of bread in my desk drawer.
I want you to, like, someone's like, hey, Georgia.
I have a stick of butter in my desk drawer, like.
Really?
Yes.
That's weird. If you can have a butter drawer, you can definitely have a bread drawer.
I have, like, extra butter, like,
you want to come down?
I bought, like, a package of butter. So the extra sticks are in the refrigerator, nice. in the break room, in the refrigerator. She wants her food.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I was like, Luna has never sat on my lap, ever.
She's not a lap cat.
No, she jumped off, she was, like, looking kind of at my lap, and then at my computer, and then at me. And, like, was moving left and right, and I patted the ground, which you guys probably heard, and she jumped down and immediately stepped on my lap, and I, for real, almost defecated my pantaloons. It's like, this is it. The moon's out, and Luna's calling to me.
I'm yelling at the moon.
The moon, she is yelling at me.
And Luna's attracted to that.
Yeah.
I mean, her name is Luna, so.
Cat's butts look dumb with no fur. Like, she doesn't she's have got, like, butt a little, cheeks, but she kind of
she's
does.
Got, like, a little wrinkle, like, where the bottom of her tail is.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, what are we talking about today?
All right, our December episodes kind of make a series, if you will.
Yes, a mini-series.
They put them together.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, we're going to be talking about, you know, I have a Christmas surprise for you.
Okay.
Which is why we need to record the episode before I leave town for Christmas.
I know it's in our calendar, but when is that?
I leave...
Wait, never mind. It's
on Christmas Eve. Yeah. All right,
sweet.
Like that morning.
That's fine.
That'll be our episode, but it'll be way different than normal.
Interesting. Okay.
But ultimately, we're going to talk about the Victorian times, why Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol.
Probably all the fucking opium,
and I would assume. I don't think Charles Dickens was into opium.
I'm pretty sure everyone was into opiates in the Victorian era.
He wrote really harshly about, like...
opiates.
Well, all of his bad guys are alcoholics, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he was a little too stiff upper lip to... Mm-hmm. And he wrote really critically of the Industrial Revolution, and which we're going to talk a lot about today. He was very, he made a lot of comments on the society in which he was a part of, in which he was a part.
Which he was a part.
My butt cheeks were a part. That's what I heard come out of your mouth.
It might have been what I said.
I know.
It wasn't intentional, but yeah, exactly. My subconscious is like, the meme is too strong. You have to.
But, like, we're going to work our way up, so we're going to talk about Victorian society, why it was the way it was, how the social classes became what they were, and why Victorians were so kind of emo.
I just remembered something.
Goth. No, I'm sorry, they were goth.
They were technically goth.
It reminds me of the episode of South Park where, like, kids are turning emo, mm-hmm. and they resurrect Poe. That's one of my favorite episodes.
So a bunch of my coworkers speak Spanish, like, natively. Like, their first language is Spanish. Mm-hmm. And I learned the most important word of my life.
Is it goth?
It's butt cheeks.
Oh.
Yeah.
In so, Spanish.
Yeah, pompis, butt cheeks. And today at work, I was talking to one of my coworkers who speaks a lot of Spanish, just because he's, like, he wanted to learn, so he's good at it. Because that's how learning languages works,
Dude's
literally.
Dude's really excited. A bunch of the kitchen guys at Hoogly Hands are very nice. Hispanic, and he's good. Really excited to speak Spanish and learn more Spanish.
It's so good. And I was talking to him, and I was like, hey, thank you for being part of the reason I know the word pompis now. And he's like, you're welcome. And then, like, 20 minutes go by, and I'm like, hey, what's the word for clap in Spanish?
Oh,
and
no.
He was like, aplauso. Or he asked one of the other girls. And she was like, oh, aplauso. And he was like, okay, sweet. Pero, no uso mis manos. And then turns around and, like, bends over and starts shaking his butt. And they're like, Ryan, what? And he's like, no, it's for me. It's para Sanjay. And I just, like, shrug. I'm like, that's it.
Clapping cheeks. All right.
Clapping my cheeks. Catch me at Tubby's any day of the week.
One time, I don't remember, Stu was, like, changing his pants or something, and I made a comment about his butt, and he, like, did this little, like, butt wiggle thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, you're lucky I don't shake my butt for just anybody. And he, like, made it seem like it's something that he never does, but he does it, I think, he clarified last night that I seem to appreciate it, so he does it more.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you do this a lot for somebody who doesn't, you know, wiggle your butt as much as you say you do.
He's gotta practice, you know. Catch him at Tubby's any
Catch
day.
Catch him at Tubby's.
Me and executive producer Dick Wolf just hanging out at Tubby's.
That's how this podcast is funded.
Exactly. We don't have real jobs. Like, I wish I could not have a real job and just dance at Tubby's and people throw... That's stripping.
Yep.
All right, what were we talking about?
You know people who do that. You have an easy in.
I do. I think that's only for lady strippers, though.
I mean, you never know.
It's 2019, almost 2020. I just want
to... Gender equality for the win.
Let me put my ass where it wants to be.
Let's also clarify that I have bells on my sleeves.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the noise. Do you want to go in the closet? Oh, Stu knows I was talking about his butt. He has, like, butt dar, and he just texted me. yeah, I have bells on my sleeve, so every time I move, I jingle. So we're going to do an episode about disease. That's going to be today.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did you say disease or the Z's, like nap time?
Disease.
Okay.
I don't think Victorians were allowed to take naps.
I don't think so. Siestas didn't exist until very much later.
And then next time we're going to talk about them fucked up funerals We've talked a lot about Victorian funerals and stuff before, like starting with way back with Burke and Hare, so we're going to elaborate on those fun facts, because...
Sweet. I like how you say fun facts as if they're actually fun. They're like...
They're fun for me.
They're fun for you, yeah.
And then we'll kind of talk about...
Wow.
A Victorian Christmas and what came out of... How many Christmas traditions we have today that came out of the Victorian times. And I'll probably throw in some shit about pagan stuff and whatever, you know, the usual Christmas.
A shout out to friend of the podcast, John Pagan, who we're definitely talking about right now.
You founded so much Christmas.
You did. John Pagan, the boy.
The Yule log.
They call him that, you know, at Panera.
The Yule log.
Jonathan, the Yule log pagan.
I don't know if they called him that, but they... never mind. Just...
Catch him at Tubby's any day of the week. Oh, for those of you that aren't from Manhattan, Kansas, Tubby's is a... So do you know how they're... Like, in a house, there's, like, a lot of rooms and stuff?
No.
Okay, so there are
generally... Is that how houses work?
That's how houses work. And those houses are all connected by walls, and there's a floor and a ceiling, and below the floor there's piping that goes to a place where shit goes. That's Tubby's.
That's Tubby's.
Yeah, Tubby's is the shit place.
Did I ever tell you about the time I dropped my phone in the toilet in Tubby's?
Did you leave it? No return?
I was drunk enough. It was my 23rd birthday.
Wait. I was in high school. Continue.
It was 2011.
Oh, yeah, I was a junior in high school.
It was my 23rd birthday, and I was with my friends. We were at Tubby's, and I was drunk enough that, I went to the bathroom with my roommate's girlfriend at the time. They are married. They just had a baby now.
It's gross.
I'm old.
People yeeting fetuses, wow.
Ugh. Ugh. Shout out to Lacey, who does not know how to listen to podcasts, but she's having a C-section tomorrow.
Oh, yikes.
So, anyway, yeah. Annie and I go to the bathroom, and I urinate, as one does when they go to the bathroom after drinking copious amounts of alcohol in a bar. Mm-hmm. And my phone fell in my pocket, as they tend to do, and I was just drunk enough that I was like, Anya, get it out. And she goes, that's your pee. You get it out. And I was like, you're right. So then I took it out. And then I rinsed it off under the sink. My logic was, if it's been in the toilet, it's probably already fucked up.
Might as well not have it smell like pee.
I'm going to rinse it off just to be safe.
That's fair.
So Tubby's is a gross bar.
Yeah. Don't go there unless you love sticky floors.
Frat boys.
People dance. They have their dance floor. There's a wall on the east side, a wall on the west side. You enter the dance floor up a flight of stairs up the north side.
Through some railings.
Yeah, and the south side faces the street, so it's just open. There's a railing, but you're like 6 feet, or like 4 or 5 feet in the air, like elevated, and it's open. So, unless you also have people staring at you while you dance.
And let's remember that this is a college town, and we're real close to an army base.
Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes girls just want to have fun.
It's true.
And I've seen a lot of butt cheeks walking by that bar.
It is the 1820s. We are in Manchester.
So I've got that, like, really refined English accent.
My notes say, it's the height of the Industrial Revolution. You are a filthy street urchin with an accent like the Ninth Doctor. Also, my dad, kind of.
I'm okay with that.
You have a very refined...
I love Eccleston. I'll take it.
It's just you have a very northern British
It's like
accent.
A little gross, but it's on a scale of 1 to Russell Brand, it's like a 7.
Well, Russell Brand's got like that gross London.
He does. Eh. It's awful.
Northwest England, specifically, the best part. That's where I'm from. Also, my dad kind of. Note, people may remember Manchester in the news from a couple years ago, because that's where we all learned you should never go see Ariana Grande in concert.
I don't know that.
When there was a terrorist attack after her concert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, I forgot about that. Yeah, yikes.
So that was a couple years ago. Also, it was bombed in 1996 by the IRA, which I remember very vividly, because Like I said, Manchester is really close to where I grew up, and mm-hmm. that's where my mom's mom is from, and, like, so my grandma's side of the family all lived in Manchester, mm-hmm. and that was the largest bomb planted on British mainland since World War II.
What the fuck?
So, it injured over 200 people, and, yeah, I remember, so we had swimming lessons in school, but our school didn't have a pool, so we took a bus to, like, the school hired a bus for us. Yeah. They don't have school buses in England, really.
Interesting.
Unless you go to a private school. My private school had school buses, but my public school didn't, which seems backwards, right?
It really does, yeah. They're like, oh, and you can't take your bins to school? I guess we'll charter a bus for you.
So,
yeah.
We hired, like, a... And it wasn't, like, a bus. It was, like a coach. What are they called over here? Like, a tour bus kind of thing.
A Greyhound?
Yeah. What? Like, one of those kind of buses, yeah.
A coach?
It's called a coach, yeah.
Okay.
We were on one of those buses coming... I think we were coming back from... Like, we just went to the public pool. And we were coming back from that. And I remember our teachers telling us, like, this just happened. This is important. You need to know about it. Because, mm-hmm. well, I was 7 at the time. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that was one of the last bombings to happen. I ended up, like, kind of digging into this a little bit just because it's interesting.
Yeah.
And that was one of the last bombs that was set off during what's known as the Northern Ireland Troubles, mm-hmm. which is when the IRA was bombing everything. But mm-hmm. from 1969 to 2001, they set off about 200 bombs.
That's so many bombs.
Yeah, it was, between, every single year they set off bombs. Mm-hmm. There was one year where it was just one, and then there were some years where it was about 3, mm-hmm. but then most years it was maybe between, 8 and 15 bombs.
That's crazy.
A year. That's more than one a month. Mm-hmm. It's insane. So, if you're curious about why the IRA would want, why Ireland would want to bomb England, then stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Manchester was, the capital of the Industrial Revolution, basically. What do you know about the Industrial Revolution?
I used to know a lot, and now I just know that it happened around 1911, 1890?
Nope.
1880?
No.
60?
No.
50?
No.
30? Am I getting closer or further away? You're getting closer. Oh, damn it. All right.
So what's known as the first Industrial Revolution was from 1780 to 1820.
Oh, yeah, I'm so far off, so I know now that it happened in that range. I have billowing smoke envisioned my head. A lot of, children working in factories because there weren't rules about that yet.
Yeah.
If you were a child and you wanted to, buy new shoes or whatever, just go work in a factory for a couple...
Years.
Yeah. That's it. You didn't make much money. There were no labor standards.
So, like I said, it began in the late 18th century in England, characterized by the development of machine tools and mechanized production methods, as well as the use of steam and water power, which meant an increase in coal mining and steel production. The era was dominated by the textile industry, which Manchester was the capital of. And it was the first industry to use modern production methods, which I didn't know, so that was kind of cool. Apparently, so I don't know if anybody that is from here really knows this, but England's prime livestock is really sheep because of the colder, damper climate is, over here is better for cows, over there is better for sheep. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason why textiles were the main industry. There's a lot of access to wool. I also would assume that the fact that Britain was still an empire at this point and had colonized plantations with slaves and...
Probably helped their cause.
Had something to do with it, as well as the fact that... Again, Britain was still an empire at this point, and I would assume they had some kind of monopoly over trade routes coming from the east. So, the Silk Road, textiles coming from India, China. The East India Company was a trading company. Yeah. So, tea was a big thing, but I would assume that quote-unquote exotic textiles were probably played a big part in that, too. I didn't really read anything about that, but that's just
connections.
Putting good... pieces together, yeah. Also, Manchester is pretty close to Liverpool, which is where the Beatles are from.
Fun fact. Abbey Road is.
It is.
I did not know that. That was a big leap.
Really?
Damn, yeah. Oh,
the Beatles got their start really at the Cavern Club, which is a bar in Liverpool. And I've been there. It's pretty
Nice.
happening. There's a bronze statue of John Lennon outside. I have a picture of it on my Facebook if you guys are interested.
Linen statues will get you in trouble in other places, so that's good to know.
Which Lennon are we talking about? You
Exactly.
figure it out.
Favorite game.
Their proximity to each other, Liverpool is a port town, obviously. Their proximity to each other led to the success of both cities during the Industrial Revolution, and some of the first railroads in the UK were built between the two so that they could export products faster from Manchester, get them to Liverpool, and then shipped out on fancy new steamships. Obviously, hand-skilled laborers couldn't keep up with machine production. So, there wasn't really a middle class before the Industrial Revolution, but I would say that people who were skilled in like hand-weaving techniques and stuff like that, they weren't rich by any means, but they weren't poor. They could afford a couple sets of nice clothes for church and, you know, they had nice things in their small house and
Yeah.
like
And you probably couldn't go to like some of the finer eateries or whatever, but like people had a respect for you. Yeah.
Also, this is completely off topic, but I was watching Great British Bake Off the other day
Good
because
choice.
it's I'm doing my hardcore baking day next weekend, and I was just like, I like to just watch and learn things. And I learned all about eel pies and how successful they were in the Industrial Revolution because I did not know that eels were very common in the Thames.
What the fuck?
And they were really cheap to buy on the street. And so, like, the working class would just, they could buy eels to take home and eat. And also, pie shops could make them for cheap enough for, like, workers to be able to buy and, like, take for their lunch or something. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I also, they described eel as a very delicate fish flavor, which would really surprise me.
I mean, I've only had eel in
In
sushi, and
sushi,
I love it in sushi, but I cannot imagine having like a
cooked
meat
eel,
pie of like that.
like
That's
chicken pot pie but with eel.
cannot imagine.
Fish pie doesn't sound good to me
It
either.
doesn't, no.
I like grilled or baked fish, but the idea of it in pie, I don't even like fish tacos, honestly, like ugh.
They're very iffy. I like really like a mango chutney with mine, but like
Yeah.
a lot of people don't like the sweetness of
Mango
mango
chutney.
with yeah, chutney.
Chutney.
What's that from?
New girl.
That's it. Yep. Schmidt. It's very, yep. Also watching through New Girl again right now.
Yup.
Best decision ever.
We started watching the IT Crowd again last night.
Yes, good.
From the very beginning. mostly because the newest episode of Mandalorian, Richard Iwadi is Zero. The droid.
Who's Richard Iamonte?
The guy with the fro.
What?
Yeah, he's.
Whoa, I
He's
can
the
totally hear
droid.
it. Yeah,
Yeah.
wow.
Well, that's what, because I was like, that voice sounds really familiar, but I also had that, I don't know. Also, have you looked up to see who plays the Mandalorian?
It's a guy from Game of Thrones,
Yeah.
but I haven't watched Game of Thrones.
Oh,
I
okay. Well,
will,
never mind.
but yeah, his name's
God.
Pedro something.
Pedro Pascal, yeah.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Who does he play?
Stu, he plays Oberyn. It's in
Yeah,
season
that
four.
means nothing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not like a prevalent, I mean, he's not a prevalent character because, like everyone in Game of Thrones, he dies, but
Yes.
but yeah, he's in season four. He's really cool. He's a badass. He's also, have you seen Kingsman 2?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, he's
But
in
he's in
that
that.
too. Yeah.
Okay. No, the only character I'm attached to in Game of Thrones is the guy that gets like smashed by the mountain.
That is him.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
No! Oh! Fuck!
He gets his head like his yeah.
Yeah!
That's him.
Oh, that's so sad. Shit.
Yep.
Okay.
Fun fact. Yeah, Stu, like, I think I was watching, so I haven't seen every
Cry.
single episode of The Mandalorian. I just, he watched the second episode and then he like kind of fills me in and then we watched the 5 and 6 together. But he tells me about the other episodes because I am continuing my Star Wars education. We are going to see the new one while we're in Illinois on Boxing
Good.
Day, so.
It's fucking Star Wars. I'm probably gonna cry. Like, I'm going to cry, actually. I cried during The Force Awakens. I'm gonna cry during the Rise of the Skywalker. Like, I have to. Did not cry during The Last Jedi because that movie sucked. But, in my opinion. I have a theory.
And Stu really likes that one. Well, I don't know really? If he, I don't know if he really like, yeah, he does. He really likes that one.
Do you know, what, like, does Stu align with Sith or Jedi more?
I don't know.
You should ask him, because I have a running theory.
I think he's very much on that, like, neither one is really the good or bad guy. Like, they're both doing mm-hmm. what they think is best for
yeah.
whichever for... people they have in consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how he is about space politics.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why he's really awful to play Risk with. Like,
exactly. Yeah. He sounds like fucking... What's a... I can never remember his name. It's like Guado, I think. The guy that owns Annie and his mom.
He's like, what yeah,
are you, some kind of Jedi? So, if you had a business, you were, like, okay. You had some fancy yeah. stuff, you had some Sunday clothes, so... but you're still poor. Which is very relatable. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also.
The skilled laborers, so we're coming mm-hmm. back to that. 1 hour tangent over. Continuing. Yes. Hand laborers were okay, but then machines took all their jobs and did it way faster. And then they weren't okay. Mm-hmm. And then they got real poor. And
even more relatable,
right?
Ooh.
Which is ironic because now we're like, oh my god, this is hand woven. I'll pay you $1,000 more yeah. for it. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. hence why I crochet people gifts for their wedding presents. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then on top of that, farmland was privatized so that peasant farmers, people who just like relied on the land, couldn't do that anymore because they would get fined for, you know, like. Stealing fish or crops or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they moved to the city to get factory jobs. That was like the English peasant farmers. And then the Irish farmers were also getting evicted by their English landlords.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went to cities like Liverpool and Manchester to find factory work. And about 30% of workers in those two cities were Irish at the time. You have this influx of people moving to cities, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Like I said earlier, if you want to know more about why Ireland would want to bomb England in the first place, England took all of their land and their shit and told them the GTFO, so, yeah.
What's that? What's the line from the Firefly intro? It's like,
take my love, take my land.
It's like, take my something.
You can't take the sky from me.
Yeah, that's all that matters. So that's why, like, the Irish fucking hate the British. They try to take the sky in addition to everything else.
God, I need to rewatch that show. I love it so much.
Would recommend. It's so good. I have it also. I think I have all of it. I at least have...
I tried to make Stu watch Cowboy Bebop not too long ago. I was like, it's animated Firefly.
Yes.
Just watch it.
It's literally space cowboys.
He's like, the sexualization in anime, I just don't like it. And I was like, that happens in TV shows!
Yeah, exactly. It's just not a cartoon.
Like, in some animes, yes, it is overboard. I get that. But in this anime, it is very much just as it would be in a live-action show.
There's literally just, I cannot remember what her name is, but, like, the main female in the show.
Faye Valentine,
yes. Yeah. Like, she's sexualized, but she uses her sexuality as a tool to scam other cowboys.
She does it on purpose,
yeah. It's not like they're just like, oh, this is a strong character that's supposed to just be a pilot, but why are they showing her butt so much? No, she's scamming dudes 24/7
and when she wants to look classy as fuck, she does.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
I wanted to cosplay her in her, like, casino, like, the suit that she wore.
Yes, mm-hmm.
I loved, like, I was all about that.
Cowboy Bean Dip is hands down one of my favorite anime.
For real.
It's so good.
Some historians argue that this new form of capitalism resulted in the lowering of women's social status because, according to them, they lost much of their economic importance.
What does that... Your ovaries are worth less.
So,
your intrinsic value.
Just if you think about medieval times, which didn't really go all the way up, but still, like, look at Jane Austen novels. You marry off your daughters to rich people.
So you get stuff. And you're just like, bye-bye.
Because they have economic worth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have the burden of paying for them anymore, right?
Yeah.
And also, there was a time when, I mean, people always think of those times as being primitive, but women did contribute to the family business. They were involved in decision-making. especially in like family farms and stuff like that, they played an important role. And then all of a sudden you have this division of labor because the Industrial Revolution happened. Like, some of them argue that capitalism resulted in the lowering of social status, but others said that the Industrial Revolution paved the way for women's emancipation.
I think war specifically, like, led the way for women's emancipation. Like, I don't think the Industrial Revolution...
Like, World War One. World War One, ultimately.
Yes.
But the first Industrial Revolution happened 90 years before World War One.
Yeah.
So, I understand... This is... Okay, I understand that, yes, events happening in the Industrial Revolution led to... this, that led to that, that led to the way things were during World War One. However, check out this wage gap. In average factory work, textiles, obviously, that's the industry that we're talking about, men earned 10 cents an hour and they worked a 10-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
They earned, on average, 20 to 30 shillings a week.
Okay.
At that time, there were about 20 shillings to a pound, which equates to about 57 pounds today, or $76 a week.
Okay.
Women, doing the same thing, men earned 20 to 30 shillings a week.
Mm-hmm.
Women, for the same job, earned 7 shillings a week.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sure, maybe that's the first straw that... Mm-hmm. Enraged women enough to be like, women's emancipation is a thing that we need.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that that paved the way for women's emancipation, mm-hmm. honestly. And then children earn 2 to 4 shillings a week.
It's because they have little hands. They can only do little work, you know.
But little hands means that they can do work that grown-ups can't do. Yeah,
which is actually why they got
hired.
Which
is also way more dangerous than any work grown-ups can do. Half of factory workers in... the Industrial Revolution, were children under the age of 14. Yikes. Also, working conditions were terrible, which we already knew. Look at Oliver Twist.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on.
Mm-hmm.
And temperance movements made it difficult for workers to obtain the one thing that they probably wanted at the end of the day, which I want at the end of the day still, which I'm going to hold in my hand right now, and that is alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So rude. But, fun fact, both people who have come from a coffee background,
mm-hmm.
coffee blew up, especially for workers who use it for both a caffeine boost and a meal replacement, because malnutrition is awesome.
So that was really sad. I got really excited for a second, because a lot of people that are super into coffee are also super into finer details of alcohol. So if you can pick out the notes in coffee, you can pick it out in like whiskey, or... you can pick it out in scotch, you can pick it out in red, white wine. There's a lot of overlap, and kind of as you get deep into one, it branches out into the other. So I was like, oh, this was the beginning of, like, the third wave.
Yeah.
Way before the third wave actually started. Like, yeah. This was the beginning of people turning into coffee snobs.
Yeah.
No, they were just poor and sad and hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also a big difference.
Relatable content. Yeah.
While economically you can argue that the standard of living increased for the general population, let's be real. Things were really bad for those at the bottom of the social ladder. The poor just kept... I have to burp. Hold on. There it is.
Nice.
The rich got richer, a new middle class developed, and then the poor just got... Well, the new middle class developed, side note, with the creation of a higher demand for white-collar jobs like teachers, lawyers, accountants, merchants, things that people didn't really need that many of before. But as these new industries came in, you had new money developing. You also had, like, department stores were becoming a thing.
That early?
Yeah, in the 1800s, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
If you've... Well, I would argue... They, not necessarily 1820s, you would have, like, your private shops in the 1820s for sure. Department stores, I would say, came in, like, in the late 19th century. There is a show on Prime, it's called Selfridge, I think, Mr. Selfridge, maybe, but okay. It's all about the American merchant who created one of the first department stores in the UK, Selfridge's, which is still a department store, and it's kind of about, like, his... I mean, it's a drama. It's like, oh, this is what's happening with my business, but my family life is in shambles because I can't stop having affairs. And
exactly.
Like,
also, my opium addiction, to tie it all back to opium, which is what we know this podcast is really about.
It's very, like...
Opium Cast 2019.
It's very, like, Downton Abbey, but also not, because it's for, like, the high street stores. And
yeah.
It's like Downton Abbey meets The Greatest Showman. Jeremy Piven is the main... Ari from Entourage.
No. I know the name, though.
Like, if you saw his face, you would know who I'm talking about. Jeremy Piven.
We're gonna live...
We're live searching.
Right, what a... Oh, yeah, this guy. Okay, sweet. Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah. So he plays, like, the
main character. He looks like Pete Wentz. It's the only reason I know who
he is. He kind of does, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a grown-up Pete Wentz, even though Pete Wentz is, like, a 30-something-year-old dude with a kid. Yeah.
But yeah, so he plays the main guy. It's really interesting if you're into that era of... show and kind of the social life and everything, then, you know, it has moments of being very lavish and grand, and oh, we have to have the finest greenhouse built on top of our building to entertain this one person that we're bringing in for one event, but we're gonna spend thousands of pounds, which would now be millions of pounds, on this structure for this thing. I don't know, it's, yeah.
I spend $8 at Taco Bell and I get sad.
I spent $8 at Taco Bell for lunch today.
Nice.
Yeah. And then my tummy hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, middle class developed with this higher demand for that white collar kind of industry. Bankers, accountants, lawyers. Things that you need when you're running a large, successful industry. You need people to do jobs for you. Mm-hmm. So those white-collar jobs were created. And that is ultimately what led to the development of the middle class in Britain.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you can't be super successful unless there's someone slightly less successful than you.
Right.
Middle class.
And then, like I said, those skilled laborers just fell into poverty, along with the evicted Irish farmers, the peasant English farmers who moved into the cities, and things got real dark. And that's when overcrowding of cities started to happen, on top of the fact that there was already a population boom happening. So all of a sudden, we are overcrowded. There's not enough capital in existence to create the housing necessary. So slums started developing. Real shady neighborhoods started to just get filled with as many people as could fit in them.
Yeah, why would you pay like $300 for one apartment when you can share it with six of your best friends and only pay $50 each? Yeah.
Exactly. Someone can sleep on the kitchen floor. It's fine.
I have done that.
But yeah, so there's not enough capital to build adequate accommodation. People wouldn't have been able to afford that anyway. So what was the point in building it? Overcrowded slums became a thing in a time where sanitation was already lacking and there was no knowledge of hygiene or germs or sanitation or any of that. Mortality rates started to go up and the life expectancy started to go down.
Which makes sense, so, I guess. If one goes up, the other one should
probably go
down.
So, like, in 1740, the population was 6 million. In 1801, it was 8.3 million. In 1850, so in 49 years, it had almost doubled to 16.8 million.
What the fuck?
And then by 1901, it was 30.5 million. So in another 50 years, it had almost doubled again.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Until 1750, the life expectancy of an adult in Britain was 40. In 1841, life expectancy in London was 37.
Yikes.
Getting close.
Ugh.
In Liverpool, it was 26. So,
what?
Success.
Yeah,
beat
I
it.
Guess you did it.
I beat it.
You lived past the life expectancy from the ye olde days.
So, you know what that brings us to.
More life expectancy stuff? I hope not.
Me turning too many pages of my notes.
Yep, I was like, wow, that page is real blank.
We get to the diseases. The infamous Victorian era diseases themselves. Do you know anything about Typhoid Mary?
No, I do not.
You've never heard of Typhoid Mary?
Sick band.
So if I say, did you know Typhoid Mary was a real person, you're going to say, no.
No.
Yeah. All right, well, she was. She was an Irish immigrant living in Manhattan. Not our Manhattan. The real Manhattan.
Big Manhattan. The real apple, the not real the little one. Apple. Yeah.
She worked job to job cooking for affluent families. And it turns out that she was an asymptomatic carrier of typhoid fever, meaning that she never exhibited symptoms, but she certainly passed it on to the people she cooked for. Typhoid is a bacterial infection. It's caused by a specific strain of Salmonella, and symptoms can appear between 6 and 30 days of exposure, including weakness, abdominal pain, constipation, the only Victorian disease that gives you constipation, because all the others give you straight up diarrhea.
It's good to know. If you have one, you just get the other.
Yeah.
You know?
Headaches, vomiting, and sometimes a skin rash characterized by rose colored spots.
Ooh, fun.
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's spread by eating or drinking food contaminated with the feces, food or water. Contaminated with the feces of an infected person.
I wish there wasn't a pause there. It was just, if you eat food or drink anything, disease, typhoid. Like, that's
the
it.
The end.
100%. Welcome to dead.
And that's why, unlike Mary, we wash our hands after we poop.
It's, I don't get why that was ever, like, a debate. Like, it's like, should I do this? Yeah, no,
it's fine. Then next, we're going to talk about typhus, which is not the same as typhoid.
It's the cooler older brother.
Typhus fever. There are three kinds, depending on whether you get it from fleas, chiggers, or body lice.
Sweet, sweet.
So
I like this story tree. It's
all really carried by vectors. Mm-hmm. Epidemic typhus occurs in outbreaks where poor sanitary conditions and overcrowding are present. So, hands down, Victorian England.
Yes.
Also, any city,
modern go. Valley.
Modern many cities, that's still a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Symptoms include fever, flu-like symptoms, and a rash that starts on the torso and spreads to the extremities.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot about that one. But here we come with a classic consumption. Bow, air horns. Or tuberculosis, as it's more commonly known as today. Most infections are latent, but can become active. The classic symptoms, you know, are chronic cough, bloody mucus, that classic handkerchief scene in any drama featured in, like, the 1800s to early 1900s.
Or lots of anime that I currently watch.
The bloody handkerchief. Cough, cough. Oh, no. My handkerchief is bloody. Fever, night sweats, and weight loss. So weight loss is where the term consumption comes from, because it looks like it's eating you. TB is caused by a mycobacterium, which is different from a regular bacteria. Its high lipid content makes it harder to destroy, and it's also really hard to detect unless you're actually looking for it. Mm-hmm. It just kind of, like, hides. Especially the fact that it affects your tubercles, which are really small, especially in your lungs. So, from 1800 to 1850, one-third of all deaths were attributed to TB.
What?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is airborne, so coughs, sneezes, spits, people who talk really aggressively and also spit while they talk.
It's very different than just not wiping your butt and washing your hands.
Have you ever had a TB test?
I have not, no.
Oh, it's so cool. So it's a tuberculin skin test. And what they do, I've had it like 3 times now.
You should change your life decisions.
Well, really. So I had to, when I went to Highland, which is a community college in our local area, I had to have a TB test to be admitted. And the only reason I had to have one was because I had been to Mexico within the last 10 years.
Okay, yeah.
And so they give you a TB test, and what they do is inject like a small amount of TB within. They inject it in between the layers of your skin, basically. Mm-hmm. So it makes this little bubble.
Mm-hmm.
They usually do it, like, on your forearm, like, right here. It makes this little bubble, and then the bubble kind of goes away, but it leaves, like, a mark on your skin, mm-hmm. and then they measure, you go back in like 2 or 3 days. It's like 48 to 72 hours. Mm-hmm. You go back and they measure the mark on your skin, mm-hmm. and they use that to determine if you're a latent carrier of TB.
So it's just that the thought is, like, if you're not a latent carrier, then your body's gonna freak out and just, like, eat this shit, and it'll be gone, like, super fast, so the bubble's gonna be small, versus if you are a latent carrier, your body's gonna let it go further, so you'll, like, have a bigger bubble.
No. If you... So if you... You're introducing... So if you are a latent carrier, you're already going to have antibodies in your system that mm-hmm. react to the injected mm-hmm. bacteria.
Yeah.
So it's going to, like, the site of injection itself is just going to react differently mm-hmm. than it would if you don't already have the antibodies in your system.
And this was the first time in your body. So, like, oh, yeah. Who are you?
The problem with that is, so, like, I've had to deal with TB. I think I've done 2 or 3 TB tests now. Mm-hmm. Nursing, medical students have to do multiple TB tests. Mm-hmm. Once you've, and it's the same thing every time. Once you've been injected with that, it's called a tuberculin skin test. Once you've been injected with that tuberculin so many times, your body will start to react as if you are carrying it just because mm-hmm. of how many times they've injected it into you. So mm-hmm. that's an interesting side effect mm-hmm. with the whole TB testing thing, but...
It's the same as if you have cats and you test them for FIV, like feline immunoviral... Yeah. Something, it'll just immediately test as positive because of, like, how the cat bodies work, apparently. So you cannot test for FIV with 100% certainty.
We should do, what's that other, what's it called? The thing that's in litter box in cat poop that makes it
cat scratch fever? No, like whatever, like that.
No.
I thought that was
it. Begins with a T. It's the thing that makes it, like, why you shouldn't clean a litter box if you're pregnant.
Interesting.
It's basically like a parasitic.
I have no idea what you're talking
our
about.
Our New Year's episode, I already know our New Year's episode is going to be about parasites.
It's going to be about, okay.
Cool. New Year, new you. Like, yep.
New Year, new parasites.
We're going to talk about parasites and how they fuck you up.
I'll talk about the anime Parasite the Maxim.
Okay.
Which is also about a parasite, and it's very good.
That fucks you up.
It's very good.
Next is diphtheria. Mm-hmm.
Dip.
Do them dips.
Yep.
Whatever.
As the kids say.
Diphtheria is also an airborne bacterial infection. There's a theme here, as far as Victorian England goes. Another airborne bacterial infection caused by coughs, sneezes, contact with skin lesions, etc. Symptoms appear 2 to 5 days after exposure and include fever, fatigue, bull neck, as it's called, where your lymph nodes are so swollen that your neck is just like...
That's disgusting. Oh, you don't have a painful. Second chin, you have a second neck.
Yep. Double neck syndrome. Your skin appears bluish in color, and you have difficulty breathing and swallowing, and it's painful because the bacteria destroys the healthy tissue in your respiratory system, and it produces a bloody, foul-smelling mucus.
Nice.
That
nice.
You cough up.
Yeah.
And it also creates, like, this thick, gray, like, if I were to open my mouth real wide and you mm-hmm. look down, instead of seeing my happy tonsils, because mm-hmm. I'm 31 and I still have my tonsils, which slightly terrifies me, instead of seeing that, you would just see this, like, thick gray, like, coating down the back of my throat where all the bacteria attacked my healthy tissue.
If they just had Listerine, would that have fixed that at all?
Fun fact, Joseph Lister was very active in medicine during this time, and Listerine is named after Joseph Lister. Oh. He noticed that post-op bacterial infections were a thing, mm-hmm. and he developed a system of spraying them with carbolic acid, which is great because it does kill the bacteria on the surface of the skin, but it also gives you second to third degree burns and can cause seizures and make you, like, have a lot of other issues.
And here we are gargling so, that shit every day.
Yep. So.
Yikes.
But Joseph Lister did develop the idea of antiseptic things. So, yeah.
That's. You come to Broadcast from the Belfry for random spooky things, and here you are learning about bacterial infections, the avoidance thereof, and guys that gave other guys seizures.
I will say, well, one of Queen Victoria's daughters died from diphtheria, but here is my soapbox for the episode. Diphtheria is extremely preventable. It's part of our Tdap vaccines, which is a very common vaccine to get as a child. It's your diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. So, whoop and cough.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccinate your fucking children. If you don't vaccinate your children, don't fucking listen to this podcast because you're an idiot and I don't care.
If you'd like, I can also send memes.
Herd immunity is a thing.
Yeah, I have a lot of memes about, like, anti-vax parents. If you'd like to be the recipient of one of those, let me know.
Tell us you don't vaccinate your children. See what happens.
Tell me you do vaccinate your kids. You'll still get them. If you listen to this podcast, you're getting anti-vax memes. Either way. Like, that's all I can provide, really. I've got a lot of them. I've got a lot. I personally want to die, but I'm an adult, and I've decided that I want to die. Why are you deciding that for your kids, you know?
Vaccinate your children. I saved the best for last.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about cholera.
Good.
We brought up cholera several times and never really talked about it. Like, smallpox was also, like, one of the most feared diseases in Victorian England, but we already talked about smallpox. So, there were two main outbreaks of cholera. One was from 1831 to 1832 and caused 7,000 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
One was from 1848 to 1849 and caused 15,000 deaths. In 1854, there was a cholera outbreak in Soho, which is a district of London.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, a physician, I'm not going to tell you his name yet. Actually, you don't watch Game of Thrones. His name's Jon Snow.
Boo. I literally only know who Jon Snow is because of Dick Wolf. Like, oh, our executive producer of this podcast loves Game of Thrones, and his D&D character is also, like... loosely inspired by Jon Snow, and, like, hanging out with him while the show was airing, I picked up so much about this character.
So, Jon Snow decides he has a theory, and it was time to prove it. He believed that contaminated water was the cause of the outbreak, so he tracked down every single record he could find, public record, hospital record, whatever, mm-hmm. of everybody that had died during this cholera outbreak.
Okay.
And he found out where the victims were getting their water from. And what he did, Taylor gave me a book about it. And I just flipped through it when I was doing my notes, but I actually really want to read the whole thing. It's called Ghost Maps. But what he did was he... took a map of London, eliminated everything except the water pumps,
mm-hmm.
and then he mapped all of the deaths.
All right. That sounds pretty extenuous, but
yeah.
I respect it.
And from that, he found that the majority of the deaths in this 1854 outbreak in Soho were radiating from one specific water pump.
Hmm.
So he... took water samples from that pump and from other pumps and compared them. And this is before people know about germs.
Yeah.
And he noticed that in the water samples from the Broad Street pump is the one we're talking about, that there were white flecks in the water. And he was like, I think that's what's causing people to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody believed him.
They were just like, oh, these are healthy flecks.
They were like, yeah. You know nothing, Jon Snow. That's a Game of Thrones reference. You fucking pleb.
I kind of get it.
He eventually convinced authorities to take the handle off the pump so no one could use it, but they still, like, didn't really buy what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And then this idiot, Reverend Whitehead, comes along, and he's like, No, this is God's intervention. It's his divine will to get these people sick with cholera. Mm-hmm. You idiot. And he published a report trying to prove Snow wrong. But all he actually ended up doing was contributing further evidence that his theory was correct. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until, like, the late 1800s that people started to buy into what Snow's theory was all about. But that's basically where we get germ theory from. Mm-hmm. And a lot of research in epidemiology today is still founded in Jon Snow's research. Speaking of epidemiology, one of my favorite community episodes is the season 2 Halloween special that has called, the title has epidemiology in it.
Which episode is that?
It's the zombie one with the Dean's playlist, has all the ABBA songs on it.
Yes, okay, yep.
And what's his doctor? Oh, what's his nuts? He has the banana suit. Hi, cat. My cat has emerged from the closet.
She has. With her
she is trying to put her head in my wine.
But.
So, you might say, what actually is cholera? I gave you all the juicy details for the other diseases.
That is what all the kids are asking, you know? They're like, what's cholera? How do I do my taxes? It's like, all
attached. Yeah, I mean, they're all really important things to know. Cholera is actually one of the main contributing reasons as to why we put chlorine in our water sources now.
Oh, really?
Like, in our city water, yeah.
Did not know that.
Yep. Oh, here's a quote from Jon Snow, too. He wrote, within 250 yards of the spot where Cambridge Street joins Broad Street, there were upwards of 500 fatal attacks of cholera in 10 days. As soon as I became acquainted with the situation and the extent of this eruption of cholera, I suspected some contamination of the water of the much-frequented street pump in Broad Street. And he was right. Cholera is obviously fatal if it's not treated right away. It's a bacteria that infects the small intestine, and it stays alive in your poop. Fun fact.
The same.
So
also why you should wash your hands. I will be there if you don't.
It's spread through contaminated water or food that's like washed, you know, like food if you wash it in contaminated water or cook it in contaminated water. I think the Soho case specifically, a woman like washed a dirty diaper in the well water or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just kicked off the whole thing, and she ended up being responsible for like 500 deaths.
I can't imagine that, waking up and someone's like, knock knock, you murdered a lot of people.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just had some poop.
Yeah.
That's it.
But they didn't know any better back then. It was fucked up. Cholera is known as the Blue Death because a person dying of cholera loses so many bodily fluids that their skin appears bluish. The most common symptom is a watery, translucent, white diarrhea.
That's disgusting. Why would you not immediately go to a doctor
and be like, I'm dying? It's described as looking like rice water.
That's so gross.
Yep. And you can also vomit clear fluid as well. And in the worst cases, that alone is cause enough that the victim dies within a few hours.
Hours?
Hours.
Holy shit.
A lot of people come down with the symptoms of cholera, and then the next day they die.
Mm.
So, I mean, that was back then. It's different now. Like, it's still bad. It's still fatal now if it goes untreated. But back then, it was just like, oh, fuck. There's no cure. The way to treat it, even now, is to just replenish your fluids and electrolytes. I mean, it's just like having the flu.
Mm-hmm.
You vomit, you have diarrhea, you sweat, you lose bodily fluids and electrolytes. You have to replenish them. You're chugging Gatorade and whatever. It's still considered a pandemic today. Mostly in quote-unquote developing countries. I don't really like that term, but that's what Wikipedia said. And it's still responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths a year. Symptoms, lethargy, sunken eyes, saggy skin. You can go into shock from dehydration. Mm. You can have seizures from dehydration. You have low blood pressure. The bluish skin. That's about it.
I want to say that's how I want to die, but that all sounds actually terrible. Like, just awful all the way down.
What is your favorite pop culture depiction of the Industrial Revolution?
Oliver and Company.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's really good.
And I'm just thinking of the song, and I'm gonna cry.
There's, like, that one, we're probably thinking of the same song, where everyone's just, like, walking down the street, and it's just so cool.
No.
Like, I just love it.
No, I'm thinking of the one that the girl sings to Oliver.
No, there's, like, the one where they're walking down the street, and Oliver's, like...
Yeah. Yeah, where he's all sassy? That's not, no.
It's, like, the main one.
I'm thinking of the song that the girl sings to Oliver, because she misses him. I know we're both Googling Oliver and Company.
Yes, we are. Should I Worry is the name of the song.
No.
It's the one that I'm thinking of.
That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Me? Yeah, I'm starving.
Listen, kid, I hate to break it to you, but the dynamic duo is now the dynamic uno.
What do you mean?
What I mean is our partnership is herewith dissolved.
But wait, you're not being fair.
Fair's a for tourists, kid. Consider it a free lesson in street savoir faire from New York's coolest quadruped. Check you later.
Hey, wait! Help you get them!
Good Company is the song I'm thinking of.
The song's just so cool. I don't know, it's one of, like, a childhood memory of mine. It's just thinking, man, that dog's cool. We're not gonna listen to the chorus. Otherwise, it'll be stuck in everyone's head for the next 6 months.
Wait, hold on.
I gotta practice now, kid.
Oh, that's so cute.
I don't remember there being any humans in this show.
It's his loving home.
Oh, you want to practice too?
Never mind, I remember that. This is so cute. Okay, this entire movie is my preferred memory of the Industrial Revolution.
I also like the depictions of the Industrial Revolution in Doctor Who episodes, let's be real. Like the, what's that one Christmas special where the guy opens a Cyberman thing and he thinks he's the Doctor because he had all this stuff projected into his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Victorian England.
That might be the newest, like the most recent, actually.
No, that's the David Tennant one.
Was it for sure? Why did I? Oh, because I was rewatching Doctor Who earlier this year. That's why. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like, shattered my marbles.
That's like the last. That's the last Doctor Who or David Tennant Christmas special. Yeah. And the guy. Yeah, the guy. He's investigating his own death because his memory was replaced with the, like, timestamps from the Cybermen, and he thinks he's the Doctor, and his TARDIS is a fucking hot air balloon, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And that woman is like, oh, you men, you Victorian men, ha ha ha. And then she kills them all.
Yeah.
Which is pretty okay, but.
I can't imagine. He was so convinced. He was like, yes, and this is my, and everything was slightly wrong. Like, a little bit. And I can't imagine thinking this guy's an imposter because he's slightly saying everything wronger than you.
Yeah.
And then having your just like, your whole life, like, just destroyed in front of your eyes, and you're like, oh no, I'm the imposter. It was me the whole time.
Yeah.
Ugh. My favorite Industrial Revolution memory is when I got, like, tetanus and died.
I mean, I read Hard Times by Dickens, which was, I mean, it's not my favorite depiction of the Industrial Revolution, but it's a really good novelization of life during that time. I would say better than Oliver Twist, honestly. Like,
damn.
Yeah, it's just like, it's called Hard Times because
it
focuses on that lifestyle, which, I mean, like I said earlier, he writes a lot about, a lot of his stories are social commentary on the industrialization and how that changed the society. He writes a lot about that.
Thank you for listening to Broadcast on the Belfry. Wait, is that it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, thank you for listening to Broadcast on the Belfry. If you enjoyed tonight's podcast, feel free to leave us a like or subscribe. We are on anywhere you listen to podcasts, including Apple Cast, Spotify, and like six other places that I'd never heard of before. So, yeah, hopefully you're listening on one of those too. and we love and appreciate you. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Broadcast from the Belfry or broadcastfromthebelfry@gmail.com. You can also, we'd like to thank the people that made our intro. Who are they?
Marshall.
All right.
Mathers. No, I'm just kidding. Maja Island Music.
Yes, so feel free to give them some love too. They made this beautiful intro that we've been using the entire show and have never.
They're always in the show moat. Always show moats.
Show moats.
We have a moat around our show.
We do. It's adorable.
There's alligators in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Maybe an octopus.
Yeah, in case you don't read the show notes, we'd like to thank Marshall and feel free to give them some love too. Georgia, is there anything else you'd like to say to these beautiful subscribers, guys, ghouls, and otherwise that listen to this rambling cast of ours? That was it.
Thanks for listening and stay festively spooky.
Festival sluts.
Hey, Billy. Come on, you.